We might not always like to admit it, but we humans have quite a rebellious streak. Growing up near Boston, I took many school field trips to walk the Freedom Trail, see the old North Church where Paul Revere's lanterns were hung, learn about the American Revolution, and get to stand in the places where the most pivotal events there occurred. But the significance of the word revolution never dawned on me. Whether we think a revolution was good or bad, promised progress and freedom, or tyranny and suffering, they all share a common denominator. The old authorities must be swept aside. The Russian revolutionary promise of peace, land, bread. The French Revolution's liberté, égalité, fraternité. And of course, the Declaration of Independence's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness all sought the establishment of a new authority, new rulers in place of the old. All revolutions are battles against authorities. Jesus Christ calls his people to a different battle. No human institution is our ultimate enemy. In Christ, we love our earthly enemies and pray for those who persecute us because Christ shows us that our true enemy is not our fellow man, but the evil one himself, the devil. The devil seeks to lead humanity away from God and into sin and wickedness. And ultimately, it's because of his influence that human beings act wickedly. This does not mean that our earthly enemies are innocent of their wrongdoing, but it means that evil can only be defeated by targeting the source of evil. There are wicked spiritual rulers and authorities that must be dismantled. There is a spiritual warfare that Christians must engage in against these spiritual enemies. St. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in today's epistle lesson to provide instructions for how to wage this spiritual war against this true enemy, the devil. St. Paul firstly tells us who our enemies are. For our fight is not with blood and flesh, but against the elements, the powers, the cosmic ruler of this darkness, against the spiritual beings of evil in the heavenly places. Paul mentions these beings twice to the Ephesians, once here in chapter 6 and once earlier in chapter 3. These are elements, he says, who wield power in the world. These are not merely ideas or metaphors for evil. They are beings, not just forces, but spiritual agents who act in direct opposition to God's people. Ultimately, it is the ruler of this dark age, the devil, who stands as the authority commanding these spiritual powers who rebelled against God and now seek our destruction. Those are our enemies. Secondly, Paul describes the tools we need to fight against these dark spiritual powers. The tools of war that Paul lists here are not tools for physical combat. The imagery of a set of armor calls to mind physical combat to help us understand spiritual combat. The Christian soldier outfits himself with truth, righteousness, preparation in the gospel, faith, salvation, and the word of God. With these tools, we are equipped to stand against the evil spiritual powers that oppose God and his people. Defensively, faith is the shield that extinguishes the flaming arrows of the devil. The evil one threatens God's people from afar, attacking us with temptations to sin, trials brought on by hardship, or physical or psychological suffering and illnesses. The devil's threats, which Paul calls schemes or wiles, are all sent against us with the single aim of drawing us away from God. Our faith is what protects us. Our trust that Christ is the Son of God, sent by the Father to take away our sins and raise us to new life by the power of the Holy Spirit, as promised to God's people in the Old Testament and fulfilled in the New. Offensively, we hold the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness, the devil attempted to lure Jesus to sin with the same schemes he employs against us. He tempted Jesus by preying on human weaknesses, hunger, ambition, pride. Jesus responded in the same way to each temptation, by opposing them with the Scriptures. Because Jesus knew the Scriptures, he could call to mind the truths needed to combat the temptations he faced. We use the sword of the Spirit by knowing the truth and putting it into practice. Thirdly, Paul tells us how to engage in the fight. The way that Paul instructs us to wage spiritual war against our enemy is through persevering prayer and petition. The battle that the armor of God prepares us for is one that is fought in prayer. Paul calls us to all prayer and petition, praying at all seasons with all perseverance. Elsewhere, Paul writes to the Thessalonians, exhorting them to pray without ceasing. An armored Christian is a praying Christian. Fighting our spiritual enemies with our spiritual armor does not mean ignoring the physical world around us. On the contrary, fighting against evil, which is at work in the world, requires us to engage the world around us with both our hearts and our hands. We ought to be people known for our good works because we are citizens of the kingdom of God, a kingdom of goodness. Our works, what we do in the world, reflect the Father who we worship, the authority who we bow to. And those works are rooted in and energized by prayer. Paul calls us to constant prayer for all the saints. The war we fight is not fought alone. Paul says, by putting on the armor of God, we will be able to stand against the enemy, and we do not stand alone. There's no such thing as a Batman in the church, a superhero who works better alone. The church of God is made up of all the members of Christ, who individually take up the full armor of God, and together form an army. All the saints united in the worship of the Father, in the Son, by the Spirit. Together, we battle against our common enemy, the dark powers of the present fallen world, and we do so through prayer. Now, it's important to remember that our spiritual combat does not defeat the devil. Christ has already defeated the devil, defeated sin, defeated death once for all upon the cross. That's the good news of the gospel. The power of Satan has been broken by our Lord. We take part in spiritual warfare. We take up the sword of the Spirit. We put on the armor of God not to secure our own victory, but to join in the victory of Christ as the kingdom of God is being built in the world. The kingdom of God conquers the kingdom of the devil as the church spreads the gospel around the world. And we join this fight, this conquest first and foremost through prayer. As we intercede for the world in our prayers, we petition God to open doors for the spread of the gospel. This is the prayer that Paul requests of the Ephesians in verse 19, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. The front line of the war against the evil powers is the preaching of the gospel to the world which is enslaved to those powers. And that front line can only be held with the support of the rest of the army, the prayers of all the saints interceding on behalf of each other and on behalf of the whole world. When the saints pray for each other, we are ensuring that we can all stand together against the schemes of the devil. I may be weak, or stumble, or be under particularly strenuous attack from the enemy, but I have you to come alongside me, first and foremost through prayer, to support me. This is why the communion service invites us to intercede for all who are in trouble, sorrow, sickness, need, any other adversity. When I'm sick, I can't fight on my own. When I'm in trouble, I need the assistance of my fellow soldiers, my brothers and sisters in Christ. When I face adversity, I need the support of all those who are equipped with the full armor of God to face that adversity and prevail. Last week, we celebrated All Saints Day, which of course is a very special day for us here at All Saints, but it's also a very special day for the whole church. It's so special that we dedicate an entire week to celebrating All Saints. It's an octave. If you look in the prayer book, we celebrate for 8 days dedicated to remembering all the saints. All Saints is so special because it gives the church the opportunity to meditate on the unity that we share in Christ and the solidarity we have with all the saints around the whole globe, past, present, and future, standing together in the power of the gospel with all prayer and petition for each other. The mystical body of Christ, the church, united across space and time. This is what the Apostles' Creed calls the communion of saints. We are all members of one body, and the call to take up the armor of God is Paul's call to stand with one another in prayer as fellow members of that body. So this week, let us take up the full armor of God, like Paul exhorts us to, and engage together in spiritual battle, united as the body of God's saints. One such saint, who's an exemplar of fighting this spiritual battle, is Saint Patrick. When he was 16, he was captured as a slave, taken from Britain to pagan Ireland, where he worked herding sheep for 6 years until he was eventually able to escape and make it back to Britain. He later returned to Ireland, not to fight against his former slave masters with a sword, but to fight against the spiritual powers rooted in the land with the sword of the Spirit. He brought the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, to bear on his true enemies. And as a result, the church was firmly established in Ireland. Evil spiritual rulers were replaced with the kingdom of the rule of the true God. And this was accomplished through the spiritual battle that St. Patrick fought, the same battle that we now take part in together for the sake of the kingdom of God. So each morning, clothe yourself with truth, righteousness, peace, faith, the remembrance of your salvation in Christ. Pick up the sword of God's word and turn it against the enemy when you face trials and temptations. And begin to pray with all prayer and petition. Choose someone here in our parish. Begin and end each day by praying for them by name. As we begin to pray together in this way, to stand together in this way, equipped and outfitted with the full armor of God, we will join the fight against sin, death, and evil that all the saints have fought for millennia and that Jesus Christ has won for us. Amen.